So welcome to the November meeting of the concept study group. We're going to be discussing concept 11. And today I myself have decided to do the lead share. I've facilitated all of our discussions this year and decided it was an opportunity to speak myself a little bit. And I'm going to set a timer for myself for 10 minutes. Hi, everybody. My name is Karen. I'm an adult child and grateful to be here today, grateful to be thinking about this particular concept. I'm recovering from hyper-responsibility as one of my predominant laundry list traits. And I thought it was great that I managed to not jump into service until about, let's say, 10 months into my recovery. That felt like a huge accomplishment. And since then, I've been doing service at the group level predominantly. I've also been involved in forming an intergroup in my home group area in DC before I moved to Illinois 3 years ago. And service at the WSO level, I actually became, for me, a lifeline to the program when I moved and was having a hard time sort of getting my bearings in recovery meetings where I live now. And then what happened was that my recovery took a huge boost in the pandemic because all of a sudden my home group meeting in DC became available to me on Zoom and all kinds of other recovery communities opened up to me because of Zoom. And I've been incredibly grateful for that. And I have been grateful for the opportunity to learn about service in ACA at the WSO level. And my interest in the concept arose, and the concept of ACA arose because I had studied them in Al-Anon, and when I started reading them in ACA because of my involvement in WSO service, I realized the concepts of ACA are different than the concepts of Al-Anon, and I want to get to the bottom of that and understand how that plays out in how the concepts might apply to our service work. And I treat them as a recovery tool, so I look at them how they apply to my personal recovery as well, because I find that they encapsulate really helpful principles for working together in groups and more organized structures. I mean, we talk about how the steps are for our personal recovery, the traditions are for our for working together in groups, and the concepts really talk about like what. To me, I think they capture what happens at the interface of the recovery community that I'm a part of when it has to interact with legal and financial institutions for the purpose of running the business of our fellowship, which we need to run so that we make sure that recovery is available to others who might.
This phone thing isn't working, so I'm going to do it this way. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So concept 11 is an interesting one. And I did a lead share on it earlier this week, and I had a hard time sort of, because it was kind of a spontaneous jumping in, let's do it kind of a situation. I had a hard time thinking about it in terms of like, what are the principles that I can draw from this concept that do apply to my personal growth and recovery. And so that's what I want to focus on a little bit more in my share today. I'm going to start by reading the concept one more time. While the trustees hold final responsibility for ACA's World Service Administration, they should always have the assistance of the best possible standing committees, corporate trustees, executives, staffs, and consultants. Therefore, the composition of these underlying committees and service boards, the personal qualifications of their members, the manner of their induction into service, the systems of their rotation, the way in which they are related to each other, the special rights and duties of our executive staffs and consultants, together with the proper basis for the financial compensation of these special workers, will always be matters for serious care and concern. And sort of if I'm thinking about it in terms of WSO operation, I'll start at the WSO level and sort of work my way into like, how does this apply to my personal service work and personal recovery? The way I think about it at the WSO level is that the trustees have final responsibility for WSO operations. The purpose of the trustees is to take the leadership and lead in WSO operations. And for that purpose, they need outside help. They can't do that on their own. They need to depend on outside help. And so they have to give careful consideration to these aspects, and they're carefully enumerated, which is helpful here, to these aspects of operating a business. We have to think about like, how are the committees effectively structured so that they can accomplish what they're supposed to be doing? What kind of qualifications are we looking for in committee membership and committee leadership in special workers? We need to have people with a special skill set for different tasks. So that needs to be identified and addressed. The manner of their induction into service. How do we introduce our volunteers and our special workers to the specific work culture, to the specific cultural environment of providing service, paid or unpaid, in a 12-step organization, 12-step fellowship? What does that mean? How does that affect the work relationship, the volunteering relationship? What is the culture of our organization? And what can we do sort of at the top executive level to foster a culture that supports the mission of our organization? And how do we introduce the people that join the organization to that culture? The systems of their rotation. One of my favorite topics is, I believe, the most important part of every service responsibility that I've taken on is the commitment to step down when my term is up, or the commitment to step down when I realize it's more than I can handle. Because then somebody else can step up and somebody else can make sure that the service continues to be provided, rather than things breaking down because I am not being healthy about it, or I have other priorities in my life, and so things fall by the wayside. The way in which they are related to each other, to me, that means how are the committees related to each other? How do different committee leaders relate to each other with their responsibilities and so on? And then the special rights and duties of our executive staffs and consultants. I think that also means to me something along the lines of being clear about what my role and responsibility is within the organization, whether it's as a committee chair, as a committee member, as a board member, as a paid worker. What is my specific responsibility, both in terms of like, where does my responsibility end? What am I not responsible for? What is somebody else responsible for? How do I manage that collaboration so that we're ensuring that at the end of the day, the work gets done? We need to know who's responsible for what and how each other's responsibilities relate to each other. And then lastly, with the proper basis for the financial compensation of these special workers. And I think that's a really important aspect. It goes together with tradition 7. Being fully self-supporting with our own voluntary contributions, and making sure that we're not depending on people's goodwill for providing the service that the fellowship needs. And that we're, if somebody is dedicating a full-time job to serving our fellowship, they should be paid a living wage, for example, it should not be something where we're basically depending on their goodwill and their generosity to make ends meet for the fellowship. And if we have to do that, then we might have to make some hard management decisions. And so that is sort of the sort of broad picture of how I think the principles apply within our organization, within WSO. I want to speak briefly, and I realize I'm at my 10 minutes, so I'm going to keep this very brief, but I do want to speak briefly about these principles and how I apply them in my personal approach to service and how they might also sort of affect my personal recovery. So I think some of it has already come through and how I was talking about them before, but I just want to go through them one more time. Looking at the composition of underlying committees and service boards, I think that sort of in my service work, for instance, at the group level, that could also mean like I see what are the service positions in my group. What service positions does my group find necessary? And can I operate within that if I'm assuming a service position? Or do I want to take on more than a particular service position entails because I think the group might need it and might benefit from it, but the group hasn't really made a decision about that. So how do I feel about that? Am I willingly taking on that extra, or am I going to end up having a resentment if I take on extra and the group doesn't encourage or support me in it? So maybe I should take the discussion to the group before I start doing extra and make sure that that is part of the dedicated service that's associated with my service position. Or maybe another service position can be created so that this service can be done if I think it's necessary and I don't want to take it on. I think this speaks really very much to the hyper-responsibility aspect that I struggle with so much because I like to do it all. I like to make sure everything is done the way I think it needs to be done. And that gets me in trouble more often than it gets me where I want to go. So I'm really trying to check myself on that. Personal qualifications of their members. Really making sure that the person I'm turning to for support, whether it's in recovery, whether it's an outside professional, whether it's a friend I'm talking to about something, do they have the qualification that I'm looking for right now? Are they going to give me support? Are they going to give me encouragement? Are they going to give me a kick in the can because that's what I need right now? Sometimes that's what I need, right? Sometimes I just need somebody to gently nudge me along so that I can get going. Sometimes I need somebody who's just going to listen. Think about who am I talking to? What am I asking of them? And do they have the ability? Do they have the qualification or the personality to give me what I'm looking for? The manner of their induction into service. Again, I like just jumping in, rolling up my sleeves and doing it all without giving much thought to the environment I'm doing it in. I get a lot done. It's not necessarily a good strategy for satisfaction and fulfillment because more often than not, I find that I run into obstacles that I might have identified had I taken more time to explore the culture that I'm inserting myself into, had I taken more time to get to know the people that I'm dealing with. And again, think about like, are these people going to be able to provide me with the support that I need? Is the culture of this organization going to provide me with the support that I need to do what I'm setting out to do? Maybe do I need to adjust my expectations of what I can accomplish based on what I think is sort of the culture in the organization? And rotation, I've talked about that. I don't need to go back to that one. The way in which they are related to each other, I think, again, sort of really important to know how does my role in whatever situation I find myself in, whether it's my family, my service work, my church community, my work environment, how does my role fit in with the roles of other people, and how can I leverage those relationships rather than kind of end up in a confrontational situation more often than that. And I think I want to leave it there and turn it over to the group for your thoughts, questions, comments. We have plenty of time, so I'm not going to impose any kind of self-timing requirements. I'm just going to open up the floor, and I'm not going to require any digital hand raising either, because we're such a small group. If you want to comment, just jump on in. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for sharing. Could I go?
Go ahead, Laura.
Okay. I'm Laura, ACA. And I really appreciated your lead chair on this. I wrote down a lot of notes. And when I heard you sharing, words popped out to me are, with respect to this concept, systems of their rotation. You know, it's so important. What I've seen work really well in some of my meetings is like system of rotation. Like what, there was one that I really enjoyed where at the group level, they would have a sign-up sheet. If you were interested in, like, say, the secretary position, that there'd be like an assistant secretary or a co-secretary, so that they were there in case the secretary couldn't come. They would be like, they would fill in, or they'd be kind of rotated into the position after 6 months or a year. So that was an awesome thing. So systems of rotation, you know, does that serve our fellowship? Do we have like an assistant secretary? Do we have, you know, to help share some of the load? Do we have an assistant treasurer? Would that help? You know, I would love the idea, not that it's possible, of having a junior trustee, so that you're like being opened, your eyes are opened, you know, as you're coming in, you know, because it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of good work, you know.
To rotate onto the board and serve, you know, but how do we bring people along, you know? And you said manner of their induction into service. So how are trustees inducted into service? You know, are they, when they come onto the board, are they, you know, are they introduced to it, and are they nurtured onto it? You know, is there that possibility? So, or if it's for a region, you know, how do you welcome in? I used to be a registrar at a district level in another fellowship, and I called it being like the greeter, but welcoming the new GSRs in. And I love that, you know, I'm like, come on in, you know, and that's just so awesome, you know, getting to welcome them into the service body, you know, because the more of us that we bring along, the better, you know, and it's such a fun opportunity, you know, what a great opportunity. And I've got so many opportunities to work on my character defects, and I work on them, you know, when I work with others, you know, when I was on the service network committee, I found something out about myself that I needed to address, you know, and I got that by being on that one committee that I didn't get by being on like the OPPM or whatever, you know, the different committees have different flavors and stuff. And why not taste the different, you know, flavors of the ice cream cone? But anyway, so systems of rotation, manner of their induction into service, special rights and duties of our executives and staffs and consultants. Why not have the assistance of the best possible people helping us out? You know, I came from a home where I felt like I had to have the answers, right? So my gosh, if we hire people to help us, my God, that's such amazing recovery, right? So asking for help. And so I love to apply this concept to my life. How do I organize my home? There's a lot of help that I need in my home right now. And I can hire certain people, like I used to say when my daughter was younger, so that I wasn't so busy being. I could hire someone to come in and help clean, to help do all the bottles and all that stuff, so that I could be more with her, since I was already sleep deprived, right? So, you know, taking this, I could take this to my home in that way. And how can I help my inner group? You know, there's always a question that I see come up like in the inner group channel or whatever, in a region, like the inner group, the new region reps or whatever, they'll say, you know, how do you, how you help people get more interested in the intergroup, you know? So anyway, so helping people kind of come along and be interested in, you know, rotation and service and stuff. It's an awesome opportunity, you know, so why not bring more people along? Anyways, thanks for letting me share. I have no idea how long I talked, but it's so good to see you all. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Laura.
Well, I'm Julianne, and I'm a recovering adult child. And thank you, Karen. Concept 11, I think, is not one of the easiest ones to talk about. Most people in recovery tend to ignore the concepts, or at least that's what I found. And when you start looking at the concepts, most people really don't know what World Service does. You know, they just kind of know that World Service is out there, but what does it really do? Because the concepts in ACA, I, like you, studied the concepts in Al-Anon. And so I find the concepts in ACA clumsy and cumbersome and confusing. And I often have to, not that I have to, but I often choose to go to some of my literature from Al-Anon to help me find clarity when I'm combing through the ACA literature, trying to figure out what they're talking about. So there's just this one sentence that I really like in Paths to Recovery from Al-Anon about Concept 11. And it says, "No one member determines anything. Even the committees do not exist to make final determinations and decisions, but to follow the will of the conference, the greater group conscience, and provide input and feedback to the staff and the board of trustees." So I'm in process of helping form an inner group. And I'm the interim chair right now because the inner group is so young and participation is, nobody really knows what an inner group is, right? Nobody really knows what the inner group is supposed to do. And so everybody's kind of tiptoeing around going, well, we don't want to make any major decisions because we don't really know what we're doing. And so taking baby steps, it's like, we'll have an interim chair, we'll have an interim secretary, and we'll get started and we'll see what happens. And so I'm looking at this concept with an eye towards the intergroup and how to put the intergroup together and help the intergroup. And for me, I'm in the position where I could have my way if I really wanted it, right? I've been around a really long time. I know how 12-step organizations work, and I could be directive and make decisions and say, this is the way it's going to be. And even if I didn't say it that way, I could be manipulative, right? And I could guide and direct people in a specific direction. And the concepts tell me that that's inappropriate. The concepts bring me back over and over again to the group conscience process. And before I got educated in the concepts, I didn't really understand how destructive it could be to the group to exert pressure, to be coercive. And these were behavioral traits that I had as an adult child. And I had to grow through those. And the concepts are what really helped me do that. It's so important how I speak when I'm going anywhere near sounding like I'm speaking for the intergroup. I can have my own personal opinion, and I have to be very, very clear that I am making a personal observation or expressing my personal opinion. And I also work very hard to make sure that I'm giving people options. You know, I see this as a really good way to do something. And here are like three or four other ways that it could be done, right? And even that sometimes feels uncomfortable to me if I'm getting close to talking about the inner group or the direction the inner group is going. And I think that shows up in concept 11, you know, where it says the trustees hold final responsibility for ACA's World Service Administration. They should always have the assistance of the best possible standing committees, corporate trustees, executive staffs, and consultants. So even though the officers of the intergroup hold final responsibility for making sure that things are running smoothly, we cannot make the final decisions for what the intergroup is going to do. You know, that has to come from the collective group conscience. And for the intergroup, it's through the intergroup representatives. Rotation of service to me is something that's very critical. I was taught in another 12-step fellowship that if nobody wants to step up and do service, put the notebook on the table and walk out of the room. Somebody will pick it up. No 12-step organization has folded because nobody stepped up to do service, right? There's always somebody. And we can get, I can get so caught up in, well, nobody's going to do it. Nobody stepped up. I've got the time. I could do, no. You know what? Other people get to have the opportunity to grow in service. And if I hold on to a service position too long, I am not providing the opportunity for other people to experience and grow in service. And that does a disservice to the organization. So yeah, making sure to encourage people to do service for the intergroup more than anything. It's educating meetings about the importance of the intergroup. It's educating people about the importance of the intergroup representative. And then when new representatives come into the intergroup, it's being there and walking side by side with them and showing them how the inner group works and how they can best represent their groups and how the group conscience process works within the intergroup. So I think that's all I have. With that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne.
Hi, everyone. This is Yasmina. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Yasmina. Yes, we hear you.
Great. I was making sure that I'm almost at Central Park. So I was like just trying to be off the more noisy streets before I speak. I think it's great timing. Thank you, everyone, for speaking. And just really awesome to hear all these amazing thoughts and just it's great to hear other people sharing about concepts. Thank you, Karen, for like such a great lead. That was super awesome. Where to start? I really see concept 11 as continuation of some of the obviously, I mean, concepts go in order because they go because that's how it works. And also with traditions, things that talk about, you know, responsibility, authority, working together, harmony, right of petition, any kind of, it makes sense that then concept 11 comes and talks about kind of group work, where it kind of, as you pointed out, Karen, where it crosses over or where it, I guess, intermingles, you know, with like, quote unquote, real world, right? Legal stuff, economics, right? And the responsibility of the whole fellowship on figuring out how our spiritual principles and our primary purpose of recovery works with, you know, paying rent and, you know, legal things. And how to navigate that as a fellowship and everyone's role and responsibility in that. And I really find, and that it cannot be done by one person, or absolutely cannot be done by, or it shouldn't be done by just like the WSO. That would be not part of our spiritual principles in general. And also it would just exhaust the person completely, or people. And it's much more in our spirit to do things together and to hear all the points of view, to really kind of think about all the angles that, of the things that are like of any subject that comes up. I'm kind of thinking about all the, you know, town halls that have been around, for example, the only meetings, you know, one question, but so many opinions, so many points of view, so many things to consider. And that's the process, to be healthy, to be spiritually healthy. And I really hear that, I hear kind of what I, in concept 11, the mutual support, right? The WSO trustees are, you know, have the final responsibility for healthy admin of the program, but that they cannot do it and they shouldn't do it without committees, and also having the support that comes from committees, but also the WSO trustees are responsible for welcoming the committees and kind of like it says, like, I think someone else was talking about like onboarding process. I definitely am very aware that a lot of people just get thrown into service and it's kind of like sink or swim, which is not healthy. So good for anyone. And also just, you know, costs too much in terms of like personal energy and all of that. And as ACAs, we're very good at like, as someone mentioned, like rolling our sleeves and just doing it. But is it the most healthy thing? Probably not. I mean, you know, it just takes too much energy. Like, why, if there can be, as it says in concept 11, focus on great care given to all of this, then things could be hopefully more, there could be more training, there can be more, so people know what they're doing, you know, kind of what you were mentioning, Karen, in your qualification, or not qualification, your share on concept 11, knowing who does what, when, how, just helps. Yeah, that always helps. Train, even when you start a new job, training always helps, right? I really love the idea that someone talked about, which is kind of almost having trustees in training. I thought that was like such a great idea, like kind of, you know, like kind of like almost kind of shadowing for like maybe 6 months or something before you actually step into service. That to me sounds great. And I'm also aware that it's interesting. I'm going to research about the ACA concepts exactly when they were written, because sometimes I feel WSO is almost like a startup. You know, it started off and then it grew so fast exponentially, and there's all these like things to do, and it's kind of all these amazing great ideas, but takes time to develop them and implement them in the healthiest, most conscientious way. And I'm kind of very struck by concept 11, of how it's written, and how I do feel there's not enough support for committees right now in WSO structure. There's will, but there's like a we need to get there. And I don't think we're not there yet, for sure. And you know, and the burden of that falls on the volunteers who join the committees and are sometimes, you know, not properly, you know, they're left to, like, you know, do it on their own. And that's not always healthiest for ACA people, because, you know, we are recovering from too much responsibility. So, you know, I think that's all I have for now. It was a lot. I think I have so much more to think about. So yeah, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Yasmina. Appreciate your share. And I want to jump in with another observation that's sort of bubbling up for me as I'm reflecting on the topic and listening to people share. And I'm just sort of zeroing in on the last part of that very long sentence that constitutes the majority of concept 11. And it really, it's this enumeration of things that should be considered. And all of these things, the sentence ends, will always be matters for serious care and concern. And I actually, as I'm reading that, I feel goosebumps on my spine, because I think just the word care has such a loving connotation to me. It is something that matters. It is something I care about. It is something I should be concerned about. I should take serious concern, serious care and concern for these questions. And I'm going to get very personal for a moment here. I'm on the tail end of a relationship. I'm going through a divorce. We're selling the house that we purchased together. And I'm seeing a lot of things that I did not give sufficient care and concern to before I embarked on this relationship. And if I had given serious care and concern to these issues, I might have asked questions that could have led to the end of the relationship before we got to the point we're at right now. And that might not have been a bad thing. It's also telling me this last sentence, serious care and concern, is giving me permission to ask these kinds of questions when I'm embarking on a project, when I'm embarking on an important relationship, when I'm embarking on a new job, in a new work environment, to make sure that the work environment I'm in is giving care and concern to these questions, giving care and concern to my needs in that work situation. And I'm very fortunate. I have an employer who I do believe is doing that right now. And I don't take that for granted, because I've been, like, in the same industry that I'm working in. I have cycled through a number of different employers and seen different cultures, different ways in which companies work, employers give care and concern to the culture of their organization and to the needs of their employee. And it just reminds me, this is something I can expect from others when I embark on projects and relationships with them. And it is something I owe to myself to give care and concern to these questions before I do such things. Because otherwise, I'm just going to be reactively rolling up my sleeves and dealing with one crisis after the next. And my mantra is, I would rather work to prevent crises from happening than keep putting out fires. But somehow, as the good adult child, hyper-responsible as I am, I keep finding myself in these situations where I'm putting out fires yet again. And I think care and concern are an important part in moving towards where I'm preventing crises rather than constantly putting out fires. And with that, I'll pass. We have a few more minutes if anybody wants to comment again or raise questions. I'm completely open and flexible.
Hi, this is Yasmina. Thank you, Karen, for that beautiful last share. So reflective. And, you know, it makes me think about, the care and concern that I give to myself in my life. And I love the perspective that was presented rather than putting out fires. You know, like looking at the long picture and looking actually at the kind of more overall change rather than the next emergency. And I find that, you know, if I look at, and this is the, you know, I'm so grateful to recovery. When I look at my own life, my personal stuff, you know, I feel like over time, I build a good network of support, check-ins, self-care, you know, practices to help with that. And I don't know if like I can share about this in the concept study, but like when I look at the like the service as a trustee, I feel that there's still a lot of fires and I love this.
Can you remind us, Mika, we are recording this?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I guess I'm. Yeah. That's why I was like, not sure. I was like, yeah. I'm just thinking like the long term. Like that spiritual solution, again, that was kind of mentioned in your share, Karen, like what is the spiritual solution to help move out of the fire taking out stage, if that makes sense. I guess that's how I'm gonna put it. So yeah, I really like that perspective that was presented, and I'm looking at it personally, and I'm also looking at it, you know, in terms of fellowship. Yeah, and I mean, you know, like solution is always spiritual and has nothing to do with the problem. So I'm just gonna meditate on that for a while. Thanks.
Thank you, Yasmina. Any other comments? Well, I want to thank all of you for this rather good discussion on Concept 11. I wasn't quite expecting this much from it because it does come across as a very dry, business-oriented concept. And I think we really got some good stuff out of it. So thank you for that. I am going to stop the recording here.